Mrs. Brownie Ledbetter, Little Rock, Arkansas, June 17th, 1974.
First, I'd like to just tell us a little bit about your background. Your background in politics here, and what roles you are playing and have played.
Well, let's see.
Who makes the first and women's movement?
Oh, that's recent with me.
Okay.
I've been involved for 15 years here. And, you know, party politics in Arkansas is not much party. It's mostly candidates. I'm trying to change that, but it's an upstream battle. I guess the first campaign I was ever involved in was Senator Fulbright's in 62. I had been involved in the racial crisis here. My husband was stationed in the army in Germany during 57, 50, during the heat of it. But when we returned, there was still a good bit of poverty in the
army. Are you a native of Arkansas?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is too.
Yeah. And I got involved in that. That's where I learned to do most of what I've done until recently, which is political organization. I learned it in the precincts and wards in the black area when we were fighting the segregationist thing during schools. And so that was, I suppose, my basic experience. Involved in human relations one way or another. Worked with a group called the Panel of American Women since 1963, which is a group of volunteers, basically, that speak in various groups, and become a lot more sophisticated here now because we've been federally funded since 71 through one form, one grant or another, to do, hopefully, attitudinal change, which is somewhat immeasurable. But I've been back and forth in those two arenas, politics and human relations, and also church, traditional kind of activity for women. Then in, 62, I worked for the Senate. I did a lot of school board races for it prior to that, you know. But 64, my husband ran. In 68, who did I work for? Gosh, I don't know. But some Democratic candidate every election since 62, book primary in general. Been on the state committee since 68, re-elected each time. Got interested in the women's movement.
Did you go to the national convention?
Yes, I was a delegate.
In 68 and 72?
In 68, I was an alternate. And in 72, I was a delegate.
Are you in the national committee?
No. But I was on the credentials committee, the infamous. That's where I met you, right? Mm-hmm. I first got interested in the women's movement. Is that relevant? Is that what you... By going to a women's education for delegate selection meeting in Nashville where Bella spoke. So 8 of us went up from here to hear about how to run for delegate. Got very turned on about that. Was interested in running for delegate anyway prior to that time. And we had a lot of politics and some right heavy slate making here. And I busted the slate. It's a political term. Instead of burst, you don't burst the slate, right? Anyway, busted the slate at the state convention in 72, ran in my congressional district. And then the governor and Charlie Ward Arch really appointed me to the credentials committee when Mary, honest to God, Mary House couldn't go. So I went out to Washington for that session, and that was quite a mind blower because I guess what, there were 6 or 8 of us that didn't vote consistently pro or anti-McGovern the whole time, and there was a lot of pressure on those of us that did some switching. It struck me, and I'd always been interested in party politics. I've always been interested in anything that involves more people in the process. Originally, of course, my interest was just anybody, and then I got hung up in the civil rights thing. It was blacks, and from that I went into the participation of women. Long believed that party politics as something that would help the South in the sense of having a party that really functioned.
Well, in that 15 years you've been involved, have you, what's been the growth in terms of the number of women that have participated, and secondly, in terms of the position, relative importance of their positions in the party in this state? When did it really start to turn?
I think in 72.
Not until then?
How many women in the legislature?
Three.
Three?
Lost one. She's running for judge in one. There is a Republican woman running for her seat. I don't know how she will do. That'll be in the general election. Lost a senator, Dorothy Allen. But no one else filed.
But there was really no period of growth in that until 72?
There's bound to be some, but it's nothing you can measure.
That's what the blacks have told us about their participation.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, is there any kind of relationship there?
Well, you know, it's just subjective kind of judgment on my part. I don't have done any study or anything. But I really believe it's because the party's non-functional. We had a little spurt of two-party stuff when Rockefeller came in that admitted those of us who thought of ourselves as Democrats kind of made us acceptable in the Democratic Party, frankly. I remember in 68, Cal had run for office by that time as a Democrat, had written Governor Faubus and said he would like to go to the convention and never received a response. There was no party structure as such that you could make those kinds of appeals to. There was a state committee, but it was traditionally the prerogative of the governor and didn't function much. And there were separate county, still are, Democratic committees that did their own thing, and there was a gap between the two. There was no real organizational operation of the party as such. Then when Rockefeller came in, there became a Republican threat. People like us were more welcome in the Democratic Party, frankly. And there was some spurt of growth and interest.
So the Rockefeller threat, as well as his administration, opened up the Democratic Party for both women and blacks?
I think so.
Is that a fair assertion?
Yeah. I don't think we were conscious of it opening up for women necessarily.
But visibly,
those of us who wanted to get involved got more involved. Things were just more open at that time.
Things really didn't happen until 1972. Is that what you said?
Well, it began in 68. As Faubus. I mean, after all, 12 years of Faubus, and the governor sat on the party, really. Always had. I mean, that was the tradition here.
Anybody in Washington taking any interest in the party, in the congressional delegation?
No, when they ran, they would all run together as the Democratic team, and we're for a Democrat from the White House to the courthouse. Fulbright is the only one that I'm aware of, given my bias, who ever really pushed us and tried to function in any party way in support of the national ticket. I do think we've done differently than a lot of other southern states in support of the national ticket, which we've always done. Instead of spinning off and going through the business that some states have gone through, if not putting the National Party on the ticket and varying degrees of that. In 64, through Fulbright's efforts, and his staff came down here, I worked with him at that time, to go public on a Democratic headquarters for Johnson Humphrey. And that was an attempt, really, to keep Faubus from publicly coming out for Goldwater, as some of the other governors were trying to do. And we set up the only organization that there was for him nationally. It seemed to me that kind of interest only in the National Party, just every now and then. We've always been pretty yellow dog, or thought of ourselves.
Let me ask you this question, not attribution, but because I think it's important, and we were discussing it earlier, about the evolution of black vote and finances.
I got off. There's some other question you asked me that I didn't get onto.
I wanted to stay with that woman's participation for a minute, because you say that in 1972 there were five women in the state legislature. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Four.
Three.
Three. Okay. Four blacks. We have the same thing now. The blacks that ran against whites this time all were defeated. Was the same thing true of women who ran in the primaries this time? Were the women who ran this time that were defeated?
We didn't have that many women.
As challengers now?
We had Priscilla Scanlon up in Jones when she was defeated. We had one other. We didn't do too well. Frankly.
Okay, but is the 1972 election is the first time women are elected to the state legislature?
Oh no!
Well, that was the first time blacks were elected.
Yes, it was.
When
we were the last state to go on that.
When were women first elected?
Oh, off and on, there have been one or two women on. Yeah, there have been.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, there have been women who took their husband's seat.
Senator women.
That's right.
Right here from Arkansas. Right.
But is this the most?
No, I think there probably been more other times.
But what in terms of the party leadership, whatever that means, organization, county committees, has there been an increase?
There's been an increase. We have two women who are county chairpersons out of the 75 chairmen, and that's all. And that's a new thing. We're supposed to have 25%, but I don't think so. I'll have to go back and count. That's what the party office said. But members of state committee? I don't think there's been any. I mean, the what's holding me up here is the consciousness of displacing women because they're women. Did not arrive until 72. You know, there was
what I'm getting at. Did the Democratic Party, because of the Rockefeller administration and those campaigns, open up for both blacks and women?
It did, but I think
is that an overstatement?
In the sense of women, yes. It opened up for women because it was an opening generally.
Okay.
It opened up for blacks, and we were more conscious of the fact that it was opening up for blacks. We had to make an effort in the Democratic Party to court black participation because we were competing with Rockefeller for their votes. I mean, I think that's a fair statement. Because it became more open, women got more involved.
Okay, follow that up with, do you think the Bumbers administration has been significantly sensitive to appointing women?
No.
Why not?
Well, I think...
I'm thinking of the polls, Jack, where more women supported Bumpers than in the case of Faubus. In other words, his support tended to come more from females than males. The reverse is true.
But I'm not quite sure of your question myself. If you ask her why in her opinion it hasn't, or why does she think he didn't do it?
I'm asking both.
Well, I'll answer the last one. I think Dale thinks he is willing to do that. He has certainly given me more opportunities than any other governor. And several women, like Diane Kincaid, like Myra Rogers, like Sheila Anthony, all of us, however, were worked for his opponent, which would be fairly significant. I think he wants to do, he has a hang up about qualified women. If he could just find enough qualified women, we've all submitted to the caucus, through the Governor's Commission of Status of Women, League of Women Voters, various groups, lists and lists of women that could be appointed. There is a study, which you all should have, that the Council on Human Relations did, of the participation of blacks and women in the state. Have you seen that?
No.
I've got that thing at my office.
The Council on Human Relations is a private
SRC.
Resource.
Yeah, but it's like the SRC. Uh-huh. And they show that there are more women in this administration, in state and commission and agency positions, but at lower levels. There are fewer blacks than men in Rockefeller's administration.
We should tell, as a parenthetical aside, that Wilkins told us yesterday that the Bumpers had told him that he was going to appoint more blacks than women in the latter 6 months of his administration.
I think he probably will. I think he probably will. He tried to. I don't think he's very conscious of what it, what the whole movement's about, or what we.
On that score, how do you think you'll fare with Pryor?
Better.
Better.
Mm-hmm. I think David has a. Speaking of the two guys personally, both of whom I know, I'm talking about them personally now, not in terms of their performance from outside. Dale has tried in his way. I think David's a little more aware of what we mean by involvement. I think David's still got some pretty heavy stereotypes.
And black.
He's trying to know.
Is there any kind of a working or informal alliance between the women's groups and blacks?
Neither group is very structure of it, frankly. But most of us that are feminists and are active have been working with black organizations through the years, too.
Has there been a positive growth in terms of the women's movement?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How are you perceived by the typical female voter instead?
I don't know that we are. We have a membership of about 275 caucus. The Governor's Commission on the Status of Women under Dale, who appointed I and Kim Kay, did 5 regional meetings with issues of interest to women. And they were extremely well attended. 500, 600 women would come. We've had a number of caucus conventions, speakers in the ERA coalition when we worked to pass that and failed. And we generally draw, with any meeting, around 300 women.
How do you fare compared to other southern states? Do you know?
A little better.
A little better?
Well, I know about Alabama. I know about Georgia. Florida probably does better than we do. South Carolina doesn't do very well at all. North Carolina, they've got a stronger group than we have. Tennessee, they've got a stronger group. A lot of warring within that group, but they have a much stronger group than we have here. The caucus, women's caucus.
This is a bipartisan women's caucus?
Yes, yes.
Are there very many Republicans in it? Judy Petty.
No, she's the running against Wilbur Mills.
Yeah, no,
yeah. Did you? Yeah. She's on our policy council. Was the chair of this congressional district caucus.
Are there very many Republicans?
There aren't very many Republicans in the state. We have about 6 or 7 women, Republican women, on the policy council now. The national committee woman, Leona Troxell, who's running for lieutenant governor. Judy, running for Congress. A couple of county chairmen. I mean, it's predominantly Democratic. The state is. But we have some strong Republican women who do stay involved. That's a hard thing for the caucus across the board. That bipartisan thing from lots of states.
Do you see more women running for office after this year?
Yeah, I think, I'm an officer in the National Caucus, so I've got a little bit different perspective. I don't know that it's relevant to your book. It's a very diverse group. It's enormous. We're at 100 different stages of development. I think the thing we need the most, it's we're in transition between a kind of communications network with 30,000 people on a mailing list, just a really structured political organization.
Is any sort of regional caucus?
No, we have not done that. And we will be meeting at a convention simply to talk about structure and our problems generally in Wichita this month. And something like that may grow out of it.
Is there any reason for women in the South to organize as a region?
At this point, I don't really think so. I think we need to do a lot of local things. I think we need to get involved ourselves at the county level, school board offices, and those kinds of things, to get our own, and to get involved in local issues. I think that's where we're needed. That's where our level of understanding is about it. If you can generalize, we've got some women who are very involved, some women who are very expert, and many women who are not. We've got, I guess, the biggest war conflict within the caucus is people like me who are political activists and. Trying not to be derogatory here. People that are more ideologically inclined, I mean, I'm a pretty strong ideologue myself, but I'm also a practical politician. And it's very hard. That's the biggest friction.
What I was getting at, when you serve in the National Women's Caucus, do you see any regional differences?
Oh, I beg your
pardon. That would suggest that the Southern women ought to organize separately in the region.
Oh, no. No, no, I do not. I find that. I was this year in, this past year, in Wisconsin with women, in Illinois with women, in New Mexico, Denver, and in Tennessee, and it was the same, almost everywhere. Very interesting. the same kind of interests, the same kind of problems.
Are there mobility differences? In other words, is social mobility more difficult in the South than it is in the North, or the East, or the West? You talked about getting elected to public office. In the party organization.
It's more on a party level. Whatever the strongest party is, the most difficulty women are having. In other words, from state to state, I worked on the McCluskey thing when we were, fighting that Douglas election rule. And whatever state I went to, if there was a strong Republican party there, then there was a larger participation of women, even as candidates in the Democratic Party, or the reverse, depending on which we're good stalking horses.
In other words, the minority party tends to
be a little more open.
Candidates.
Well, sure. You're going to not have much of a chance against a strong candidate.
But does that work in the South?
Republicans have more. Our women here.
Republican Party produces more women candidates.
Oh yeah.
4 of the 5 women legislators in South Carolina are Republican.
Okay, but that only works for women. Doesn't that work for blacks?
Oh, it does here. There were more Republican black candidates last time, not this time, when the Republican Party was still.
Yeah, but that's a Rockefeller.
That is
indeed.
And
none of them got elected.
That is indeed. Well, I've understood. I don't know this to be true. That in other states, Republican Party's kind of outsegged the Democratic Party. We did not have that here. That is one.
No, but that's atypical
difference.
In the South.
Yes. So was our Republican Party.
Yeah.
Of the 11
so
states.
So was the Rockefeller Party.
Right.
The 11 states we're looking at, how would you rate that, the women's caucus in each of those states at this point, stage in terms of development?
I think in Tennessee, particularly through the round table, which is primarily the same group, Tennessee women, volunteer round table. Have you been to Tennessee?
Not yet.
You ought to talk to Carlene Waller. I'm sure you'll hear her name in other places.
Where is she from?
Nashville.
You'd rank that as the strongest?
I don't know, because...
I think what Jack was asking.
Florida,
rank
maybe.
Order the states by the strongest,
by the
most
strongest,
effective women's caucuses. How would they do?
This way, let's use a scale from 1 to 10. 10 is the strongest, 1 is the weakest. And I'll name them, and you just sort of rank them.
Okay, that's better.
Could be, like Virginia.
Flora Crater?
What?
Flora Crater? Hell, I see. I'd say 4, Treble.
North Carolina.
6, maybe 7.
South Carolina.
2 or 3.
Georgia.
3, 4, maybe.
Tennessee.
5, 6. In one end of the state, it's very heavy. I don't know. But Memphis bunches.
Florida.
They ran an awful lot of candidates. Now, I haven't been into that state. I talked to Nikki Bear a lot, and I talked to, different ones that represent Florida at the national meetings. It sounds pretty good to me. I would write that. What did I do for North Carolina?
I think 6 or 7.
I would say 8 for Florida.
8 for Florida. Alabama.
Republican women do well. They ran an awful lot of women for the legislature in Alabama. Highest number. And for Congress, good heavens, they had women candidates. Oh, probably 4 or 5.
Mississippi. 2?
2.
Louisiana.
Except for Pat, there ain't much. There ain't nothing.
Or Louisiana.
Louisiana.
No, 2 or 3.
Texas.
Oh, very strong. You're talking about, of course, 11 states. Oh, yeah, that's... Give them 9
particular.
They've got a paid office.
In Arkansas.
I guess we'd be around 4, 5 maybe.
So you see Texas, Florida, and North Carolina is the strongest. Why? Because of the leadership? Or because of individual Martha McKay?
Yeah. And in Texas, they've got across-the-board leadership. Some strong folks. Of course, they had, Sissy to pull around in the beginning, and they had some other issues, but they've got more organized individual caucuses, even for the size of that state, than any of the rest of us. And they have a... Yeah, I think they will be. I think Texas will be the strongest. In Florida, I say that not knowing much about the structure of the group at all, but simply by virtue of the number of women they ran. I don't know. I've not been in there. I don't know about their four or five very strong women that I've worked with from there. I'm mostly talking about assessing it really from reading newsletters from the women, from individuals that I've worked with that are strong leaders.
When a politician tells you that he's willing to appoint women as long as they're qualified women, what does that mean?
Well,
what does that mean to
it's
women
just kind of an unnecessary thing. I've forgotten he said it. Somebody that went to serve in the legislature, he said she was very hung up about running. They should be sure that she was qualified. She was a lawyer and she worked very hard at it. And then after she'd served in the legislature a while, she wondered why in the world there weren't more qualified men. <It's
kind> of, I mean, is it a code word?
I think so. It's okay to have women as long as they're qualified. We had the same thing with blacks. It's okay to have blacks as long as they're qualified. I don't notice a lot of qualifications being required. I mean, it's not. It's a question of not being concerned about it if it's a black man. That's never attached. You know, that's never attached
to
the phrase.
I'm just curious about what qualified.
It's never part of the phrase. We'll take men if they're qualified.
Unqualified women.
I mean, it's not relevant, really. And the fact that
the two words are right.
Right. And it's a discriminatory phrase that people don't realize. They're unconsciously. You did ask earlier about my role. I started out, as a volunteer. I started out doing the things that nobody else did. As I look back in retrospect, I was just eager and involved. I've always loved politics. My husband was interested in it. I felt, growing up here, there was damn little diversity, if any. All you had was black and white. There was no diversity of ideas. There was no diversity of religion. There was no, it was, and about, if you were interested in that, for some reason I was. I learned better by comparing what I thought or felt or believed over against somebody who disagreed. That's always appealed to me. About the only place you could find any kind of diversity was in politics, in the political arena in the South. At least there were different points of view about how things got done. It may only have been pro and anti-race, it may only have been pro and anti-national government, but there was some, little diversity. I was also interested, as I said before, in the participation of more people getting involved. So I started out, I can see in retrospect, doing what nobody else would do, organizing volunteers, getting people to go door to door, which I had learned in the racial crisis or the aftermath of that, my late involvement in that. How to organize a precinct was untoward. Unheard of here. What you did if you were in Democratic politics or any other was you rent a couple of rooms or a floor if you're running statewide or if you had the money at the Marion, and you got a couple of Watts phones and some desks and you got some bumper stickers and some yard signs, and folks came in and you said, here's the stuff. And that was literally all that there was. So it was like a new thing, and I became something of an expert at organizing people to go door to door and that sort of thing. And that's how I got involved, through my campaign work, doing those things. And I remember in 68, when I, with one other woman, was the chair of the Volunteers for Fulbright, we had to call it Volunteers because it was somewhat threatening. Precinct organization was such a new thing. Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to do a lot of phoning? Why do we need to go door to door? And I'd go in to train people in local counties to do this kind of outreach, and it was just a whole new thing. And that's how I got involved in that. And then with in campaign since that time, I've done everything. Well, this one, the senator, I worked with all the advertising and all the copy, and just was the inside campaign person that dealt with the agencies.
Who ran the Fulbright campaign? Okay, that's the second time I've heard of that.
Who?
Nobody. Mister, it was Charlie Nobody. We heard that yesterday.
That's the truth. It's a very frustrating experience.
Did that result in no strategy?
Oh, we had one. It was just hard to get anybody to conform to it. The thing that makes my senator, mutable senator, makes him a very tough candidate. He is going to do his own thing regardless.
Would it have mattered?
I don't know. How do you know?
Why'd he lose?
Well, he's a very controversial guy. We're a very paranoid state, even though we have not agreed with him. He has been somebody that we've been proud of. He has been an international figure. There's an old theory that I think is probably true, that we want the governor to be like us, but anybody we send out, we don't want to put that foot forward when we go out of the state. The interesting proof of that to me is in 64, 68 it would have been, 62, when Faubus was at the height of his popularity, really, he wanted very much to run against Fulbright and run for Senate. And it just, the word came back, no, he couldn't do it. Governor was governor and senator was senator, and they were two different things. We tried to utilize that, but the days have changed.
Yeah, let's go back to that theory. That
paranoia.
That we want them like us if they stay in the state. We want them a little bit different if they go outside.
Because we're ashamed of what we are.
Is that a myth, or is that people actually articulate this?
No, I don't think people articulate it. But I think it's very strong. It was a strong strain in the polls that we did even this time.
I was going to ask you, did the polls show that?
Yeah, the pride. Even at the 60-30 thing, which we knew from the beginning, 57% of the folks felt that the state would have been better served if the governor had remained the governor, the senator had become the senator, remained the senator. Very interesting. And that they were proud. Well, it was an enormous percentage were proud of Fulbright's national claim. Even hardcore bumpers voters. Our bumper support. We're proud of the center thing. They disagreed with it. But really, we are one of the poorest states, as you know. We were paranoid before. We were poor before the Civil War. You know, we didn't have a heyday back there. We had the bad image thing back from Bob Burns. I remember as a kid, the whole Bob Burns thing. And the racial crisis added to that. And we have been determined to be what we are, in a sense. I mean, we've been kind of yellow dog, but I think the reason Senator's always been reelected is, one, he did not have a strong opposition, and two, we were proud of the acclaim that he received. And when you get somebody that you can still be proud of that runs against him, he can go under. Very controversial
guy.
But
that would suggest, you know, the state suffers from some kind of political paranoia.
Well, I buy that.
You do buy it.
I certainly do. We're a very put down bunch, and we've always been that way. And I think we're very low on our own self concept. I really do.
Low in self esteem? Oh, yeah. Based on what? Because of the low ranking in terms of social and economic indicators, or what?
Partly. Just the whole mythology. Clear back from Bob Burns, in my memory of going north, and somebody saying, oh, yeah, she is. Aren't you from Arkansas? That whole. And we're oversensitive about it.
And you say, no, I say that results in
it
the yellow
in?
Dog demographic syndrome. Because the thing we were looking at yesterday, Frank, who knows, that Arkansas has voted since when, Jack, the president, 23 out of 23 times for the Democratic County.
No,
1876
through
1964.
Right.
The only southern state that did that.
That's right. And even in 48, with three candidates, when we could have gone Dixiecrat, we did not.
Yeah.
It's very significant.
Okay, why is the state so yellow dog Democrat, even presidential?
Well, we really aren't. I think we have has anybody not quoted to you Dr. Alexander, the old political scientist at Fayetteville? He's been dead some time now. Very colorful guy. And one of my favorite stories about the party and that yellow dog thing is that some kid was in his class from out of state, from up north or something. And early in the semester, raised his hand and said, Dr. Alexander, how do you become a Democrat in Arkansas? And he said, well, son, you go out early of the morning, on your porch and you look up at the sky and you say, God, I'm an immigrant. That's all. And I think that really sums it up. I mean, it's no structure, no party registration. And the thought of it is terrible. I've just done a survey for our affirmative action program of the party, such party members as you can identify. And since we don't have party registration, you can only identify the county committee members and state committee members and elected officials that are Democrat. Overwhelmingly in favor of party registration, overwhelmingly terrified to try it for fear that nobody would vote in the primary. But we have just never really got organized. Even with that little flare of reform.
Isn't that a paradox in a state that prides itself on being more democratic than others?
When
you look at your voting behavior, and you look at your state legislature, forget about the president in the last 10 years.
Yeah, but okay, I had that theory.
Statewide officers, you look at the legislature. Mm-hmm. You got one Republican in each house. Now, where in the South do you have a situation like that? Who's Louisiana, maybe? They got more than that.
The thing is, we don't vote for the party. We vote for the person, you see. It's not a party thing.
But my point is...
The persons have to be Democrats.
Why the fear to register as Democrats? Why wouldn't the party put through a registration law?
Well, when we changed the voter registration procedures in 64, we did it as a bipartisan, blue ribbon, big wingy-ding type thing. And I think the governor felt very strongly when we talked about the new rule. When I went to see him four months ago, whatever it was, when I got Doug to do the affirmative action thing in the party, there was a feeling that it would be going back on the trust of the people, because we had clearly said under voter registration that you would be free to vote any way you like. And I've held some affirmative action workshops around the state. And invariably, I have to explain to the participants that it would only apply to primaries and not to the general election. I think we've had a long fear, which was heightened during the Faulkner years, of somebody finding out how you voted and you'd lose your job. The ballots are numbered. They still are. We've only got 11 counties where there are voting machines.
The ballots are numbered?
Oh, yeah. The ballots are numbered. It's a weird system. The ballots numbered, and there's a rip-off, a little, perforated thing that you pull off and put in another box. It's a terribly complicated thing, and I doubt if anybody ever look up how anybody voted, but there's still a lot of the feeling, particularly in the rural areas, somebody may check on how you vote. I think that's pretty much going, and my hope is that we really can deal with the idea of party registration, because I think there's two factors that keep us from having a strong party, and one is that the county chairman has the full responsibility of running the primary, raise funding it, the whole bloody thing, in the county, in each county. And that's got to be changed. There is an overwhelming sentiment, I hope, there is in the party, according to my survey, for some state funds, some public funds for elections, primary elections, which we've not had before.
Well, how about for the state to run the primary?
Well, I think it'd be marvelous, but there's some feeling we've been afraid.
Ronnie, what do you mean when you say you want a strong state party organization?
Well, I'm weird. I do not, I want it in the terms of an open process. I want it in terms of more participation of people on the precinct level, even. Most counties don't even have precincts, where we can get people involved at a lower level, really. And where the party can't...
I'll be right back.
Running for office for one thing, being interested in local problems for another thing. Let me
lay this argument on you. Mm-hmm. We talked to somebody, said, don't you want to make the party stronger in Arkansas?
Yeah.
And the response was, what for?
Yeah.
The Republicans have one member in the House, in the General Assembly, one in the House, one in the Senate, and they got one card. We don't want them to be any weaker than they are.
Well, see, but what they mean by strong party, what I mean by strong party, two different things.
Well,
what they mean is what Dr. Alexander described.
Well, what they mean is they don't want, the fear is that if you build a party organization, whatever that means, then one man will somehow get control of it, and you go back to machine politics.
One man has had control, traditionally, because we haven't had a real organization. Because the state committee is simply appointed by the governor, in effect, and maybe divvied up with the congressional candidates that were elected that time. I mean, literally, we just sat down and said, well, I got on in 68 because of my work with Coral Bryant. Got on in 70 because of my work with Bumpers. Each guy decides who the slate will be, and it's done. And nobody objected to that. And none of those men were horribly oppressive, except possibly the Faulkner about it. It was just the system and the way it worked. And the state committee did nothing, really, except in time of a general election.
Well, you might ask, why should the committee do it?
Because
what
more people need to be...
People be candidates or what?
I think so, and do some workshops and get people to understand what the process
is. Why would the committee, which in a sense is controlled by the incumbents, want to generate more opposition to
itself? Well, it doesn't.
Well, but isn't that unrealistic to hope that it
Yes. I'm always going up Niagara. That's just me. I'm sorry. But there is an extraordinary lack of competence in this state.
That's going to have to
need
come outside the
people.
Party. You're not, the party is never going to do that itself. Whatever that means. The organization
well,
is never going to generate.
Can, what else? Where could you do it? How could you do it?
Well, it seems to me you have to generate from outside.
Well, from what?
I don't know. Maybe through an hour or something. But you,
I hate that. I'm a system person.
I just don't see the people
you
can
do it on local
issues are very high in the party, and they say, well, look,
sure,
we've got candidates now, we win everything. Well, what
is we
the incumbents,
the candidates in this country have had the party by the tail. The party has really no say. Those ridiculous fights we go through at the national conventions over the platform are utterly absurd. Nobody runs on the damn platform. It means absolutely nothing. We have no place.
It means even less here.
Of course. We have no, and yet we have a few party fights over the platform. Would you believe that? We have no real discussion of issues locally. Most people, one of the reasons we are so out of it, in my opinion, in the state, are so unaware of what's happening nationally and feel somewhat paranoid about what the national party is doing is because we don't know. We're not up on it. We're not involved in it. If we have, when I did 4 congressional district workshops for the party. We didn't have much of a turnout, 35, 40 folks. But they were fascinating. They got terribly involved. And I just ran before them some of the local issues like party registration, like public money for primaries, like campaign financing, and they all had opinions and were delighted to be able to voice them. There is no place. There is no way to discuss issues. There is no forum for it. Maybe that's naive, but I do feel like that if you ask people, damn it, they might get involved.
I understand all that. I'm just saying to you, yes. I'm just saying to you that from the people who are in office, you're in the best of all possible worlds now.
That may be.
I mean, you hold everything. What more is there to hold?
Well,
if you look at
yeah, but if you look at the
success,
goal as holding
no, all right.
But
what else? What's the test of success for a political
a
party?
Better system.
No, that's not the test.
It's
the
my test.
Well, the test is how many elected offices can you hold, and from that test, it's the most successful party in the country, isn't it?
Well, we got to get rid of that Republican up in the 4th congressional district, the 3rd congressional district.
We had a nifty talk with Clinton on that.
And he came.
Well, we met with Orville Faubus for 3 hours in Friday.
Did
then
you?
We went over to see Clinton. No, I was George Romney's executive assistant 6 years.
Were you really?
So I knew Orville Faubus.
He's quite a guy.
But anyway, to get back, you know, the test of success is how many offices you hold. If you measure the Arkansas Democratic
Party... That's your
party,
test, that's not my test.
I'm saying the practical political test, and when you measure Arkansas against that, it has performed better than any other party in the country, from what I can see.
My test is people who function responsibly in their own local government, whatever unit that may be, and we ain't got any.
But then you move from a quantitative test to a qualitative test.
Yeah.
And your judgment is that the people holding office are not perform, or don't perform the way they ought to perform.
No. It's just, we need can get to do the things that we're lacking in, and we're lacking in one hell of a lot.
Yeah, but the incumbents are not going to encourage reform of the system that elects them.
That's true. But I had 16 candidates ask me to organize the precincts last time. So maybe I can do something. I mean, you know, if you get involved. The thing about Arkansas, which I try to tell...
No, I'm not trying to be depressing. I'm just saying that when you look at the other southern states, or indeed the nation, and if the test for success in politics is winning elected office, and you look at this party in this state... I mean, you know, on a 10-point scale, where would you go?
Then you turn that around, my friend, and you look at what has this party done for this state. Now answer me that. We're 48, 49.
I'm not arguing that point.
I just think that government needs to be improved, you know, and I think that one of the most important things is a party structure of some kind. We're in all kinds of transition right now, and I don't know what the Kansas City thing is going to do to the party, probably down a little. But it's interesting. If we don't begin to, at some point, have a level of issue debate or some involvement or some training ground for people coming up, I mean, there is a, to me, it results in a Watergate. I know that's an oversimplification, but there is a candidate, a tube, and an individual. There is nothing in between. There's no place to find out for yourself except through the press. There's no place to have your own participation in that process. If you're Joe Blow.
But I think you've just killed your own argument.
Hell!
Because we had party organization. We had a party in this state, and you still don't have that connecting link at all. As a
we
matter
didn't.
Of fact, the
we
party...
We don't really have a party.
So then why strengthen the party?
We've never really had a strong party.
The parties haven't acted responsibly anyway.
I agree. But what kind of organization are you going to set up in which average citizens who are not interested in going all the way to the White House...
party organization?
Yes, where they can function, where they can learn about government, where they can participate in their own local unit of government. What other kind of organization or structure can there be for that? That need, that function ain't being met, is it?
I gotta introduce you to David Broder.
Oh, I have fought with David. No, I do not agree with David. Yeah, governors.
It's
who?
I run the
okay,
North Carolina Republican. David was there 2 weeks ago along with Sanford.
You run it? I'm on the board here.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, he gave us this thing about all the parties are going to hell.
He's right. He's right about that.
And so they always ask the question, okay, what's your alternative?
Yeah.
Well, there is no alternative.